Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the drug trust when we come back. When people call the law school and ask me how they can learn more about the topics that I speak on over the air, keep in mind that most of these subjects or topics that you hear on the radio I teach in detail in one of my classes here at the law school. For example, when you hear me talking about the common law, it was Alfred the Great who codified the common law in 872 AD into 49 principles or statutes, of which 22 of those statutes are incorporated into our federal constitution and Bill of Rights. Now, the common law was taken from the Mosaic law given to Moses at Mount Sinai. It was recorded in Exodus 19, verse 16 through Exodus 24, verse 8, and it includes negligence, insurance, taxes, such as income, property, and Social Security taxes. These IRS tax laws that we see today are a counterfeit of these tithing laws of the scripture, and they work a theft on everybody that participates in them. Now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave us a better way of life than income tax and Social Security, and that's the basis of our tax and status quo. We owe this income tax and Social Security taxes because we've contracted into them. Now, if you'd like to learn more about tax and status, why don't you write for our free general law CD package first? That's the place to start. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. You can call and order one by just calling and asking for it. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, and go to our archives page, and you can download that free general law CD package. If you don't get it on georgegordon.org, you can go to georgegordon.com. Again, that's georgegordon.org or georgegordon.com. Hey, we're reviewing a book here, a particular chapter in the book. The book is called Murder by Injection. We're on the drug trusts, about 80 pages or so. And boy, is it filled with a who's who of a criminal syndicate called the pharmaceutical industry here in the United States. And the rest of you people in the world aren't immune from it either. If you don't have a pharmaceutical industry in your country, then you can rest assured that the powers that be in your country are buying those drugs from the United States or Switzerland or the United Kingdom or Germany or someplace and importing them into your country and giving them to you. And I pointed out the last program. Here in the United States, when we come up with a drug or a chemical that causes harm or damage, then our multinational corporations will turn around and sell that to you unsuspecting people in Japan or in Latin America or in Africa and kill you. And then it's nothing personal. So if you're living in Brazil or Argentina and you're a little bit incensed about us Americans selling our flame retardant or fire retardant clothes in your country to you and exporting to you a blood disease, remember, we didn't do it because we didn't like you. And we just did it because it's business. It's the way we Americans do business. It's our multinational corporate mentality. It's the way we do things here. Killing people is just part and parcel of business. Well, as long as we don't kill too many. I would think that that's a criminal activity. It violates the Ten Commandments. It violates this crucial principle that Jesus taught us about, you know, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It's called the Golden Rule. It would seem like to me that if I wouldn't want to do that to my child, that I wouldn't want to do it to somebody else's child in Brazil or Bolivia or Argentina or in Uganda or South Africa or Japan or China or anyplace else. It would just, my common sense tells me that. But we're not dealing with common sense here. We're not dealing with morals. We're not dealing with right and wrong or good or bad. We're dealing with business and we're dealing with profits. We're dealing with money. And then when it comes to money, our corporate executives, our legislators, our bureaucratic chiefs will do whatever it takes to sell the product, including aspartame, which has 92 ailments that come from it, 92 sicknesses and diseases that come from aspartame. And we sell it to Coca-Cola and PepsiCo. They put it in their products and they put it out in the marketplace. And it has the approval of the Food and Drug Administration now. How do you like that? It kills people. Aspartame kills people. But nobody dies from aspartame poisoning. See, they die from something else. They die from a cause that's put on their death certificate, like Alzheimer's disease, or they died from some toxic condition, but it's never, nobody ever writes down, you know, this guy died from aspartame poisoning. Now, if you took too much arsenic, you know, they did a chemical analysis, and they said, oh my God, this guy had so much arsenic in his system here that the arsenic finally killed him. No, the arsenic doesn't kill you. it's kidney failure or liver failure or something else. One of your organs fails. Now, you can only get sick in two ways. You only get sick two ways. One, you're poisoned, and that's called toxicity. Or you're starving, which is a nutrient deficiency. So we could kill you with scurvy. And so your death certificate would say, well, the guy died from scurvy. No, he didn't. You died from vitamin C deficiency. And scurvy was the symptom that we have labeled, that we have copyrighted, that we sell to the public. Oh, my God, you've got scurvy. You've got dysentery. You've got this, that, or something else. What caused that dysentery? What caused that muscular dystrophy? What caused that cancer? We never ask that question. We never answer it. It's beyond the scope of medicine. We do not deal with causes. We just deal with effects. This guy died from cancer. Now, if we could identify what caused that cancer, what toxin, what poison, we call it in cancer, we call it a carcinogen. If you smoke, nobody ever died from smoking cigarettes. No death certificate ever says, oh, Bob died from smoking Camel cigarette. Bob died from cancer. Bob died from a heart attack. Bob died because he had a stroke, you know. But Bob never died because he was smoking Marlboros. So the death certificates never tell us what the cause of this guy's death is. That way we never have to take any of these products off the market. We never get informed as to what it is that's actually causing us these damages. Now, there are some people out there blowing whistles. I mean, this has been going on. When I was a kid, cigarettes were offered because they were good for your T-zone. Camel cigarettes were good for your throat. In 1946, 47, 48, along in there, an advertisement in Post Magazine or Life or Look would have a Camel cigarette advertisement with a great big T which covered your throat. It's good for your T-zone, your throat. Camel cigarette. No, they weren't good for your throat in 1946. They caused cancer in 1946. And by 1962 or 3, I read an article in the Reader's Digest detailing the percentage of people that smoked that got cancer and the people that didn't smoke. Now, in 1960 to 63, I was a young fellow, about 20 to 23 years old, 20 to 25 years old. And it didn't take me very long. I smoked at that time, and I said, you know, this smoking over here is going to kill me. I think I'm going to quit smoking. And it was because of that article in the Reader's Digest that I quit smoking. And I've always been grateful to Reader's Digest from that point on. Now, I'm going to die. I'm not deaf, dumb, and blind. But I hope I don't die from lung cancer. But, you know, even though I don't smoke anymore, there's no guarantee that I won't die from lung cancer. And so the tobacco industry for years, they said, see, there's no definitive proof that smoking and lung cancer are connected. Even though when you take 100 people that smoke and 5 of them die from lung cancer, then you take 100 people that don't smoke and maybe one guy dies from lung cancer. See, your chances of dying from lung cancer are 5 times greater if you smoke. That's what they would tell you. But that's not proof that the smoking caused the cancer, and any one of those 5 people that smoked are the one guy that didn't. We don't know. And so they give us these ratios constantly. Well, those ratios are pretty important, and they're not there for no good reason. And anybody that's got a brain, you know, that can think above 80, you know, on an intelligence scale, should be able to figure out that smoking over there isn't doing you any good, and it's probably doing you a lot of harm. So I quit, and sure enough, I live to be 70. Which is just exactly the amount of time that our Creator gave us. He gave us 60 and 10 years. I multiplied that out. A score is 20. 3 of those is 60 and 10. 60 and 10 is 70. Then I multiplied that out times 365, and it's 25,550 days. That's your normal lifespan. You're entitled to that by contract. Now, anybody who dies before he's 25,550 days old is suffering from breach of contract. Breach of contract. God, your Creator, offered you and guaranteed you, 25,550 days, if, here's that big word, if you obey me and keep my commandments. So you have to obey God and keep his commandments. Now there's 759 statutes. And a statute that says, you know, for instance, that you should wear a paddle on your side to dig a ditch, dig a hole in the ground, to bury your excrement. That's a health law. Did you know that? That's a health law. That law, if you follow that law, you practice that law, it'll help you live to be 25,550 days old. Because in countries where they don't do that, where they have open sewage running down their streets, they have a lot of disease. And a lot of people die from malaria, cholera, infectious diseases. They have a high mortality rate among babies and children because they don't practice that law. They don't have good hygiene. They're not disposing of their body wastes correctly. Now, here in the United States, we do a pretty good job of that. Not very many people die from malaria, cholera, and infectious diseases. I mean, there are some, but it's not a big problem like it is in India. or Pakistan or Bangladesh or some of these places where people are packed together and they don't have good sewage and sewage treatment. Now, there are 19 of these health laws. So I'm going to give you the number here, 19 health laws. And here in the United States, we violate these 19 health laws routinely. And we have diseases. Now, our diseases aren't infectious. Our diseases are degenerative. We get heart attack, stroke, and cancer, whereas in India, they're dying from malaria or cholera or some other infectious disease, pneumonia, something like that. But they're dying, you know, dead's dead, you know, no matter how you die. And the objective here is that we would like to live with good health for 70 years without any complications, and we can do that. And so we have an industry here called the healthcare industry, and they come along on the scene and they say, oh my God, look at all this pain, suffering, anguish. We've got this guy with pneumonia, this guy with a heart attack, that guy with cancer, and so on. And so they offer us these drugs. And they say, look, if you'll take this drug, it'll make you feel better. Now, if you've got cancer and you're in pain, some guy gives you morphine, takes the pain away. You'd say, God bless you. You know, you're an angel sent from God. And they're not lying to you. I've been in pain a couple of times, and I can tell you that, boy, when somebody comes along, shoots you up with some morphine, and takes the pain away, that's great. That really feels good. Now, I remember a couple of times I had a couple of severe accidents. I fell off of a building one time, and I got hurt pretty bad. They'd haul me off to the hospital in a meat wagon. And I didn't know you could hurt that bad and live. I'm telling you, I was hurt, oh my God. Pain, oh my God. And the doctor shot me up with morphine, and all of a sudden I felt real good, real fast. I said, hey, thanks. And I'm glad he had that morphine, and I'm glad that doctor in that hospital did for me what they could. And so if you think I'm in here trying to tell you that these doctors and hospitals now all would be tarred and feathered and strung up and hung and so on, no, I'm not saying that at all. But about 95% of what's going on in our hospitals and in our doctor's offices is done for profit and gain that has nothing to do with alleviating suffering and pain from patients. That's my point. And these drugs are being sold by hucksters. They're actually quacks who have successfully branded their competitors as being the quacks. And they've gotten you and I to believe that the alternative healthcare industry over here, those are the quacks, and that the American Medical Association and the American Cancer Society, those are the scientists, those are the good guys. And what I want to do is to bring to your attention that we got this backwards, that the quacks are the guys that we've accepted, and that the non-quacks, the real health practitioners, are the guys over here that we have branded as being quacks. So we just got it exactly backwards. Now, with that in mind, now let's take a look at pesticides. Pesticides persist in being even more dangerous than the insects. Lindane, produced by Hooker Chemical, which is a Rockefeller-connected firm, causes dizziness, brain disease, convulsions, muscle spasms, and leukemia. For many years, the Food and Drug Administration waged a battle against Shell Oil's pesticide strips, which contain lindane. These strips and other vaporizers continuously emit lindane. They are widely used in restaurants, even though it had been established that lindane not only contaminates any food substances, but also any container for food which is not metal. And although these tests were concluded in 1953, the pesticides regulator continued to allow their use for another 16 years. The Food and Drug Administration report showed that Shell Chemical Company's No Pest Strips continually released Vapone 3, the lindane formulation. So if you had the name lindane in your mind, we change that, we call it Vapone 3. And so Shell says, oh, we don't use lindane in our concoctions. We use Vapone 3. Oh, yeah, oh, good. Because I sure don't want that lindane. Okay. So here in America, boys and girls, around the world, here's what we do. We change the name of it. Now, in politics, we call that spin. What it is a lie, but it's a lie that sounds a lot better. So if I said, oh, Bob is a garbage man, see, right away, you'd say, oh, all he is a crummy garbage man. But if I say, no, he's a sanitation engineer, see, all of a sudden, he just takes on about 3 feet more height and stature in his occupation. So he's a sanitation engineer. And we do that here in the United States. I'm not quite sure why we do that. Vanity. It's just a part of vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. We like to show people that we're something that we're not. I know a guy sent me a letter the other day. He said, would you like to have a doctorate? And I said, a doctorate in what? And he said, well, whatever you want. And I said to the guy, I said, you mean if I send you $300, you're going to send me a doctorate? He said, yeah. These doctorates are for sale for $300, and then I could be Dr. Gordon. See? Then I could come on the air and I could say, and this is the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and your host tonight is Dr. George Gordon. And I would have my doctorate over here that I bought and paid for $300. See? Would it make me any smarter if I was Dr. Gordon? Put another way, would I be any dumber? See, typically, when a guy says, well, I'm Dr. So-and-so, it makes, oh, my God, that guy's really smart. He's a doctor. If I said, well, I'm an attorney, oh my God, see, attorneys are smart, doctors are smart. And if I say, well, my name is George Gordon, and I'm the host of the Law Hour and Editorial Review, well, that guy's just dumb as a box of rocks. Hell, I never denied it. And I told you plainly, I'm a plumber by trade. General contractor, plumber, farmer. I like to point out to people that, did you know Henry Ford? Henry Ford, in 1930, Henry Ford made $30 million. In 1930, Herbert Hoover made $50,000, and Herbert Hoover had a degree from Stanford University and was president of the United States of America, and Henry Ford had a sixth grade education. Now, I want to ask you boys and girls, who was the smarter of the two guys? Henry Ford, who's making $30 million a year, or Herbert Hoover, who was president of the United States with a degree from college? Now, I've been a businessman for about 50 years. I started in 1950 with the newspaper. I was a paper boy, independent contractor, paper boy, and I went out and started my business career. I have hired many, many people in my business career with degrees from college. And I've had a lot of guys work for me, you know, that were high school dropouts. And I have to tell you that in many cases, not every guy that goes to college now is stupid. But a lot of you guys that have been to college, you know, when you come here to the law school, I just kind of look at you and I go, my God, is this guy for real? Is this poor guy, he's got a degree after his name and he doesn't get sense enough to carry guts to a barrel. I listened to your stories and your statements, and I got to tell you that college didn't do anything for you. Now, that may not be the case in every case, and I don't claim that it is, and I never told anybody how smart I was because I'm a high school dropout, but I wanted to tell you that I'm not brain dead. You know, I can still walk, talk, and chew gum. So when I look at this word here, this lindane is a deadly, toxic, neurotoxic poison. I mean, this stuff just got awful bad. But see, we put it on fly strips, and there's just a little bit of it. There's not very much. So you can hang it up in the room, walk into the room, and it will not kill a 200-pound man. But when a fly flies into the room, this little fly that weighs, you know, maybe a gram or maybe 15 milligrams or something, it kills him better than a popcorn fart in about 5 minutes. And we say, well, we want to kill flies, so let's hang up two of these strips. And all the time that we're in the room, we're breathing in this lindane. So lindane, which in the case of Shell, they call it Vapone 3. Okay. All right, Shell, it's not lindane, it's Vapone. Almost sounds like we're going into outer space here with Star Trek, you know, Vapon 3, the propulsion fuel for our spaceship Enterprise. Well, over time, this lindane builds up in your fatty tissues, and at some point in time, it causes some kind of a symptom. We'll call it a brain seizure. We'll call it epilepsy. Has anybody ever asked the question, what the hell is epilepsy and what causes that? It happens to some people, but it doesn't happen to everybody. And different symptoms attack different people in different ways. One guy comes in, he breathes in lindane, he comes down with muscular dystrophy. Another guy comes down with multiple sclerosis. Another guy comes down with Alzheimer's. Another guy comes down with seizures. Another guy, and on it goes. And the medical practitioners can't tell you what caused it, but I can. I can. And I can do it with specificity. So now get your pen and paper out here, and I'll tell you what it is. If you've got a symptom, there's 450 of them that's in the Merck Physician's Desk Reference, 450 now. If you've got one of these symptoms, it's caused by either poison or starvation, one or the other. Could be caused by both. It could be a combination of a lack of vitamin C and lindane in the air or some other toxic chemical, which, by the way, there are 11,000 of these chemicals now. And that's conservative. There's more than that, but there's 11,000. This Hooker Chemical Company, who invented lindane, came out with a hell of a neat idea. They put this lindane in a very small solution. They stick it on a strip, hang it up, and it kills flies on contact, or hell, they can fly around in the room for 5 minutes and then fall over dead. That is a wonderful invention, and I don't deny it. But as a side effect that comes from that, that lindane builds up in your body tissues, and then over time you develop leukemia. Then we ask the question, what causes the leukemia? And everybody's got a blank stare on their face. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know. But we got a treatment for it. For $100,000, we'll treat you for 18 months, and then you'll die after your hair falls out and you've gone through this god-awful pain, anguish, and suffering after we have operated on you, burned you with radiation, and then we've chemically neutered you with chemotherapy and made $100,000 in the process. Now, to say that that's quackery, you see, is almost disingenuous, isn't it? I mean, everybody would say, well, wait a minute, you can't attack the medical profession over here. They're just trying to help. But there's a combination of the Food and Drug Administration, the Congress, bureaucratic heads, the American Medical Association, pharmaceuticals, chemical companies, and all these people working together. All they're trying to do is make a buck. They're only trying to make a profit. They're only trying to give you what you want, dead flies. And then in the process of killing the flies, you come down with some kind of a disease or a disorder, and they just try to come up with some chemical concoction over here to alleviate the pain, you know. What's wrong with that? And on the surface, nothing's wrong with it. God, it all sounds real good, but the aggregate of it over a long period of time produces death. In fact, God made an observation. He said, there's a way that seems right to a man. It just seems like the logical thing to do. There is a way that seems right to a man. But the ends thereof are death. Now, we're all going to die. We've all been earmarked for death. Even God himself didn't get out of here alive. I mean, God himself, remember, Jesus died. He had to be resurrected. He got out of here alive, but he had to die first. And he says, it's appointed to all men to die once. And so whether I like it or not, I'm going to die once, like it or lump it. And so I'm resigned to that. But he said, listen, if you want to live for 25,550 days, you've got to listen to me and you've got to obey my commandments. Now, I've got 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments. 19 of them deal with health. Practice those 19 health laws and you can get your 25,550 days. But there's a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are death. Lindane is one of them. My God, this Lindane, killing flies, Vapon 3, just sounds logical, doesn't it? Now, we all know that flies walk around on feces, and then they walk around on your potatoes on your plate, and you're in a restaurant, and you know that flies walking around on the food on your plate is not healthful. Well, now, I've never heard of anybody dying from a fly walking around on your potatoes, but there's a lot of people that are dying from these degenerative diseases that we're unable to hang a cause to, or unable to, with specificity, say, well, Lindane killed this guy, because when you die, they put it down multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, or pneumonia, or cancer, or heart attack, or stroke, or something. They got a copyrighted trademark name they hang on you when they pass judgment on your death. They say, well, okay, this guy died from leukemia, but they can't tell you what caused the leukemia. Well, I'm telling you, it's either toxins or it's starvation, one or the other, or a combination of the two. Now, that's simple and straightforward. Now, we need to avoid this Lindane, just to tell you how this game's played. The Agriculture Department strictly forbade their use in meat processing plants, but the enterprising manufacturer then peddled it to restaurants. From 1965 to 1970, the U.S. Public Health Service released warnings that shell, no-pest strips were dangerous to use in sleeping rooms of the elderly or for small children. Excuse me, I've got to stop here. If the Public Health Service comes to the conclusion that the shell no-pest strips hanging in the baby's room or in grandma's room is dangerous to their health, can you explain to me why it's good for my health for mom and dad who are age 35? Tell us. Is Lindane good for your health? Hell, should we put 2, 3, or 5 pest strips up in our bedroom because mom and dad get healthful benefits from Lindane? You see, boys and girls, this is why I tell you from time to time, we have taken leave of our senses here in the United States. We have lost our ability to think in rational terms. Boys and girls, if Lindane is bad for 6-month-old babies and bad for 70-year-old grandmas, Lindane is bad for 35-year-old mothers and daddies. It's bad for everybody. It's bad for the dog. It's bad for the cat. It's bad for everybody. Now, the fact that it doesn't kill you in the morning like 3 grams of arsenic, you know, if you sat down at the dinner table, sprinkled 3 grams of arsenic on your plate of food, ate it down, walked over in the corner, died dead on a popcorn fart, and they come out and do an autopsy and say, this guy died from arsenic poisoning. See, you'd avoid that, like AIDS, herpes, and VD. But when you take this Lindane in just a little bit at a time over a period of years and die from Alzheimer's disease, we all walk around and go, oh, we don't know what caused that. And furthermore, there's anybody looking for the cause of it, because if they found out, which in many of these cases here, they have found out. And as a result of that, they've banned it. But notice here, they banned it from the meat processing industry, and so now they put it in the restaurant. Excuse me, if Lindane is bad in the butcher shop, what in the hell makes it good in the restaurant or in the shoe store? If Lindane is bad in the butcher shop, isn't it also bad in the candlestick shop? Again, you know, have we taken leave of our senses here? Now, these are government agencies over here, and they came to the conclusion that this stuff is bad for you, but they approved it for 16 more years. If this stuff is bad for us in the year 2009, do you, honest to God, believe that over the next 16 years it's going to be good for us? Or it's going to be neutral over the next 16 years until you guys sell out or your patent expires? Huh? And don't you think that if we discover something that's bad for us and it's causing disease and sickness and death, that we ought to do away with it today? Today. We ought to ban it today. And don't you think that we ought to destroy it, that we ought not to ship it off to Brazil or Argentina? I mean, you know, do you have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out? Because the people that go to college, and you can rest assured, that all of these people that are the executives, the CEOs, the members of the boards of directors of Monsanto and Pfizer, and who sit in the seats of power in the Food and Drug Administration and the presidency of the United States, every one of those people has a college degree. Those are not dumb people. Those are not uneducated people. Every one of them is educated. He's educated to a degree of stupidity, to a degree of arrogance and vanity that defies description. They are educated to a degree of criminal behavior that would make a mafia don blush with envy. Which now brings us to the halfway point, and I have to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, be sure to order one by calling the Law School and asking for it. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or georgegordon.com, that's georgegordon.com. Click on to our archives page. And then you can download the free general law CD package either by streaming or you can download and put it on CD. Now, I say that most people have computers, I guess, today. Now, I don't. I'm an old man and I've resisted and I'm probably going to die without my computer, my personal laptop. But for you, those of you that are in Uganda or in Mongolia or South Korea and you don't have an internet connection and you're listening to us on a radio station, which many people do around the world, and you'd like to get that free general law CD package, find out what we're all about and what we do, you can just call us on the telephone. You know, just call us. The number here is 417-273-4967. Ask for it, and we'll send you one. How's that for a plan? The rest of you, if you're online, just download it right there in the privacy of your own home. All right, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we're endorsing are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans, and their viewpoints may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about Murder by Injection, the Drug Trust, Chapter 9, The Story of the Medical Conspiracy Against America by Eustace Mullins. If you'd like a copy, I recommend it highly because I'm just scratching the surface. And if you want some in-depth detail about who's doing what to who and who the names, dates, times, places, facts, witnesses, and evidence are, I'm sure the book is going to be about $29.95. Might be $19.95, but it's certainly worth a $30 bill, I'll tell you that. And you can get a copy from BraveNewBookstore.com. Now, I don't know what the price is, and I ain't quoting the price. I just wanted to tell you that. You can get one from BraveNewBookstore.com. They're in Austin, Texas. Telephone number is 512-480-2503. Just give them a call. Say, hey, I'd like to get a copy of that book. That number is 512-480-2503. And if you're down there in the Austin, Texas area, why don't you go into the store? They've got a physical location in the store. It's not just a telephone in a back room. It's not a big store, but it's a store. And they have in stock all of these books that are officially banned or vicariously banned and kept away from the people in general. Censored material. Censored books. They're located at 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Now, it's just a couple, 3 blocks from the University of Texas. I've been in there a time or two. And I don't know much about Austin, Texas, but I was told that we're just a few blocks from the campus. It's kind of in downtown. I hear pretty broad parkways and stuff. I remember when we drove down there, probably a mile off the freeway. 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas. And their zip code is 78705. for here, Murder by Injection, the story of the medical conspiracy against America by Eustace Mullins. And that guy's name is spelled E-U-S-T-A-C-E-M-U-L-L-I-N-S, Eustace Mullins. All right, we're talking about chemicals, pesticides. Now, from 1965 to 70, the U.S. Public Health Service released warnings that Shell no-pest strips were dangerous to use in sleeping rooms of the elderly or of small children. Dr. Roy T. Hansberry, the executive of Shell Chemical, which subsidized Shell development, served on the Special Agricultural Department's seven-member task force to study pesticide registration procedures. Shell had registered 250 pesticide products. Hansberry's personal clearance to serve on this task force carried the unsigned note. The Agricultural Registration Service does not have or know of any official business with the persons, firms, or institutions with which Dr. Hansberry has other financial interests, which might conflict or constitute a conflict of interest. Oftentimes, boys and girls, these people that serve on these boards, panels, commissions, are themselves the officials in the interlocking boards of directors of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. To say otherwise would just be a gross understatement of the problem. These people own stock in, or they have financial interests in. It's kind of like the American Cancer Society has a 50% stake in a particular cancer drug, which has been shown to be totally ineffective. Do they take it off the market to quit ripping you off? Hell no. They keep selling it to you and taking your money, making you believe that this is making you better, and then pretty soon you die, and then everybody laments and goes to your funeral and say, well, poor old Bob died, and we're just real sorry as hell. We just did everything we humanly possible and just gave him every drug we could. And hell, these people know these drugs are as useless as tits on a boar hog. They know that. And they serve on commissions and panels, and they put their stamp of approval on it and say, this is good for you. They're liars. They're hypocrites. They are criminals. You know, I always liked a longshoreman going to a whorehouse. I never had a problem with a truck driver and a lot lizard in the cab of his truck. Those guys are not hypocrites. They may be criminals. They may be immoral. But they're not lying to you about it. The longshoreman goes into Flo's whorehouse. He tears off a little on Friday night and he says, hey, it was a great show. He comes down with gonorrhea. He goes to the doctor. He gets shot up with penicillin and dehydrostreptomycin, knocks out the infection, and he goes right back to Flo's place. But he ain't lying to you. He's not harming you. He's harming himself, probably harming a bunch of other people, but he ain't bothering you. And he isn't lying to you. And he isn't telling you that this is good for you. But these people that work for the Food and Drug Administration and for Monsanto and these multinational corporations who are killing people for profit are lying hypocrites. And they ought to be branded for the lying hypocrites and criminals that they are. So that's why I thought I'd come on here and tell you that. Now, Dr. Michael A. Zarin, the Assistant Health Commissioner, also served as a consultant to the Shell Chemical Company and owned Shell Oil stock. He issued reports which purportedly showed Vapona as so safe that it required no warnings for infants or for older sick persons. At a meeting of the Public Health Service, Dr. Zarin endorsed the use of Vapona strips, and John S. Leary, Jr., Research Division Chief Staff Officer for Pharmacology, overruled the department's objection to the original Shell registration of Vapona in 1963, and he continued to support the use of Vapona until 1966 when he resigned to join Shell Oil Company. It is estimated that there have been thousands of victims each year suffering from exposure to Shell no-pest strips. Another pesticide, parathion, which was manufactured by Monsanto and Bayer AG, also has had baneful side effects. The pesticide, malathion, used in Pakistan in 1976, poisoned 2,500 people, many of whom died. And DDT, as we have noted long after its ban in the United States, continues to find a ready market overseas, much to the profit of Monsanto, its producer. Now, here in the United States, DDT has a name about like cancer. I mean, this stuff, you know, the name DDT, everybody recognizes instantaneously as being Rachel Carson's Banedbergs. Well, now, if we here in the United States won't use it in our country, what in the hell are we selling it to you people in Japan and Korea and Mongolia and Brazil for? If it is so bad that we won't use it in California, Texas, or North Dakota, why are we selling it to you people in South America, Africa, and Asia? How can you answer that? It's because we're lying hypocrites is what it boils down to. We know how deadly and how toxic this crap is and how bad it is for the environment and everybody that comes in contact with it. And we won't use it ourselves, but we'll give it to you so that we can poison your children. We can poison you and make money off of you in the process. Now, the people that are selling this at Monsanto, every one of them have been to college. None of these people can reach the levels of business experience or the heights of business in corporate America without going to college. And is this the kind of education you want to give your child in college? You want to turn him into a professional criminal? I tell you, you know, you people in the mafia and the Cosa Nostra, you haven't got anything on the chief executive officer and the board of directors at Monsanto. Sure, you know, the guy in the mafia is smuggling drugs in from Colombia, and he's selling them for 1/6 the price that Monsanto is selling them for at Rexall. And once in a while, the guy in the mafia needs to kill somebody. So he hires Murder Incorporated, and they go out and they kill one guy, two guys, three guys. But I've never heard of the mafia killing 50,000 people by selling them some drug. The mafia is not importing cocaine from Colombia and killing 50,000 people. That's reserved to Merck, Pfizer, and Bristol-Myers, Eli Lilly. Those are the people that are killing people by the thousands and tens of thousands. And then they brand the mafia and the Cosa Nostra as being criminals. Huh? I don't deny that the mafia and the Cosa Nostra are criminals, but they're criminals of such a low level of expertise as to make them pikers. The mafia isn't killing 50,000 people with a drug that they put on the market with the help of and the aiding and abetting of the Food and Drug Administration, the Congress of the United States. And then on top of that, all of the illegal drugs that are brought into America kill 6,000 people a year. 6,000 people a year die from the drugs that are brought in, the illegal drugs. 130,000 a year die from the legal drugs prescribed by the Food and Drug Administration. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. Let's suppose that today a 747 loaded with 356 people crashes in California. Do you think that would make the news tonight? I'll guarantee you it would make the news. Hell, it would make the news if an airplane crashed with 350 people on it in Mongolia, Russia, or in Afghanistan, for crying out loud. Anywhere in the world that an airplane crashes with 350 people, you're going to hear about. Okay? Let's suppose that a 747 crashes every day this week. 7 airplane crashes in 7 days. All of them 747s. What do you think would be the results of that? They would ground every 747 in the world. There wouldn't be another 747 flying for months, maybe years, until they figured out what the hell is causing all these crashes. With 350 people on them. Each time one of them crashes, everybody's dead. Now, you know that, and I know it. Now, these drugs put out by the pharmaceutical industry, promoted by the American Medical Association, sold at your local Rexall store, prescribed by your doctor, and endorsed by the FDA and the Congress of the United States, and anybody else that gets involved in this are nothing but a bunch of damn quacks. Those people are killing 356 people per day, 365 days a year, and have been every year for the last 25 years. And you have not heard a word about it, not a word. And that's what they admit to. And the reason that nobody is concerned about it is because when these people die, it's one person who dies at St. John's today in Springfield, Missouri. And it's another guy that dies at Cox South in Springfield, Missouri. It's another guy that dies, or two people that died in the Skaggs Medical Center in Branson. In 40,000 hospitals across America, 356 people every day die from these drugs, the toxic effects of them, of these drugs, and they die, and you never hear a word about them because they die one or two at a time. But if they all 350 of them died in a plane crash, I mean, we would demand action. Now, President Clinton, to his credit, I got to tell you that I was surprised when I heard this. 1998, Clinton came out and he said, we're killing 130,000 people a year, and we need to take action about these drugs. Now, I've never heard a word about these drugs being corrected, or these drug doses. I haven't heard a word about the 130,000 being reduced to 100,000, to 70,000, to 30,000, so on. Nothing's happened. I mean, at least the president brought it to our attention. He mentioned it once. I've just heard him say it once, watched him on TV. I checked it out in Google. I've got a file folder here, just filled chuck full. It's called iatrogenic disease, doctor-induced or doctor-called disease. Now, the real number is more like a quarter of a million people a year, more than double what they're admitting to. But I bring that to your attention because that's what they admit to. We know that. That's documented. Now, to say that that's a scandal, to say that that's a threat to your health, safety, and welfare, I think is an understatement, which is what makes this book so important to you personally. And this isn't going to change the pharmaceutical industry. Hell, my campaign isn't going to do jack diddly squat. I understand that. I'm not here to persuade the Food and Drug Administration or President Obama that we need to take action and stop this. They could. But, boy, we're talking about billions of dollars. We're not going to ban 95% of the pharmaceutical products in the country because they don't work. We're going to continue to sell them because they're worth billions and billions of dollars. And the people that are profiting from it are going to make sure that it continues because they're in control of the legislative process. This is where you people in the mafia and the Cosa Nostra, I mean, you guys are a bunch of damn pikers. The real criminals are smart enough to take over the lawmaking process. Can you imagine the mafia in control of the Congress? Hell, they would create Murder Incorporated as a governmental agency. And they'd go around saying there are some people that need to be killed. And we think that our agency, Murder Incorporated, should determine who lives and dies. We do this, we call it the military. We send people over to Afghanistan, and we kill a bunch of people over there, and we say, well, that's just normal business. War is a process of killing people. Our Creator told us, thou shalt not kill. We're not impressed by that. You know, we need to go out and kill people. And by God, we're going to go do it. Now, when Murder Incorporated does it, we all gasp in horror and say, oh my God, look at those criminals, they're murdering people. What in the hell do you think the Marines are doing? Think they're over in Afghanistan smelling the poppies? They're over there killing people. Yeah, but they're killing people that are bad people. Well, of course, the mafia is killing people that are bad people. That's why they kill them. If they were good people, they'd pay them better. The mafia on the Cosa Nostra, they determine that you're a bad guy and they kill you. And the Marines, they go to Afghanistan and they determine that you're a bad guy and they kill you. That's all. So we have institutions. We have institutionalized killing people. We call it the military. I just wanted to point out to you that isn't legal. It isn't lawful. There is a modality for war, but it comes from the Bible, and God is the guy that determines who you go to war against and who lives and who dies. And the idea that pharmaceutical companies can determine, you know, that who lives and who dies, and that bureaucrats can determine what drugs can go on the market and what the acceptable death level is, just like the military, well, you know, 5,000 people, you know, 5,000 Americans killed in Iraq was an acceptable death level for the results accomplished for 8 years of war. We have an agency that determines that. So don't sit there and complain about it. But I just thought I would report to you that the pharmaceutical industry is killing people, and it's authorized, it's promoted, it's excused because it's official, it's legal and it's lawful because these are the people that make the laws. That's what makes it legal. We make the laws. Hey, I'm out of time here again, children. We're going to have to leave it there and remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Now, The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly, and it has our radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.